Okay, thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to speak about the use of spatiotemporal aggregation for visual analysis of movement data. First of all, what is movement data and why it is necessary to aggregate them? Movement data are basically sequences of position records where each record specifies the time and place of a certain entity. So if you have many entities moving over a long time, you will have lots and lots of position records, and such data now come in growing amounts from various positioning devices such as GPS. And for example, one not very big data set that we have about the movement of 17,000 car in Milan during 1 week consists of about 2 million position records, and there are bigger data sets. And in with such a huge amount of movement data, traditional approaches to visualization normally fail. You have here, put an example of a map and a space-time cube, and just to prove that it doesn't work, I can also run some animation. You can see that it is not very helpful. Okay. We really need to do something in terms of aggregation and summarization before we can visualize this data. Some time ago, a group of well-known people published a paper about the use of aggregation for visual analysis of another kind of spatiotemporal data, namely point events. What is interesting that such approaches are very often used also for movement data. Just the position records are treated in the same way as independent events. But there are also approaches when movements are grouped by origins and destinations, and the results are represented as flow maps or origin-destination matrices. And there are also works on kind of geometric summarization of trajectory lines, on building something like an average trajectory or representative trajectory of a group of trajectories. So the goals of this work was not to invent a new way of aggregation, but to try to collect and systemize the possible approaches to the aggregation and summarization of movement data, and to build a kind of general framework for the use of aggregation in visual analysis of movement data, which would define when each approach is appropriate, in particular when it is useful to apply point-oriented techniques. In order to develop this framework, we introduced a formal model of movement data as a function in mathematical sense from the set of moving entities and the set of time moment to space. This is a function of two variables, and you can analyze it in two complementary ways. One possibility is that you fix some particular entity and consider the mapping from time to space, which describes the individual movement behavior of this entity, which we call for simply trajectory. And you do this for all entities. This view we call trajectory-oriented view. Another possibility is that you fix a certain time moment and consider the mapping from the set of entities to space, or in other words, the spatial distribution of the set of entities and their movement characteristics. We call this the traffic situation. Traffic is used in a very general sense, not only for vehicles, but also for people, animals, and even stars. And we take traffic situations at all time moments. This is a graphical illustration of these two views. It is not an arbitrary choice of which view to take. It depends on the task, on the analysis tasks you have. If you need to detect the areas and times of traffic congestions, you will need a traffic-oriented view, and if you need to consider the typical routes of the cars to the center of Milan, you will need a trajectory-oriented view. So each of the views probably requires different approaches to aggregation. Let us first consider the traffic-oriented view because it's easy. It's easy because we need to aggregate and summarize traffic situations which can be seen as collections of points. And this means that the approaches which are suitable for aggregating points can be used in this situation. We just divide the space into suitable compartments, divide the time into intervals and put together points which fit in the same compartment and the interval. As for example here we have aggregated movement data by cells of a regular grid and computed the average, or in this case, median speeds in grid cells by hourly intervals. In the result, we basically obtain spatially referenced time series data, which describe the movement in each spatial compartment and can apply various representation techniques which are suitable for spatial time series, such as animated map or map series, and we can observe various spatial patterns and their changes over time. Another possibility is to put some diagrams representing this time series inside the temporal, inside the spatial compartments. In our case, the time series are rather long, and therefore it's reasonable maybe to look separately on different days, and we can detect some interesting patterns of movement with falls of speed in morning and afternoon rush hours. And when we compare this with another day, we can notice that these patterns do not appear. This is Saturday. And we can put all these time series together in one graph, irrespectively of their spatial positions. Here there is a kind of temporal histogram where each bar represents a time interval of the length of 1 hour over the whole period, and the segments corresponds to the frequencies of different values of median speeds. Red corresponds to slow speeds and green corresponds to high speeds, and we can see the increases and decreases in the frequency of low speeds, and we see a clear periodic pattern. We can compare working day with weekends, and we see the differences. Since in this case our day, our movement under analysis greatly depends on the temporal cycle, so we can take this into account in the aggregation, and we can aggregate the data not by linear time intervals, but by two-dimensional division of the time, in this case into days of the week and hours of the day. And the result can be presented, for example, as here by these two-dimensional diagrams placed in the spatial compartments. In these diagrams, the columns correspond to the days of the week and the rows correspond to the hours of the day, and the cells are colored according to the values of the median speeds. Again, red corresponds to slow speeds. And we can see the characteristics of movement over the whole territory. We can see that in some areas the speeds are always very low, which is not surprising for the center. But surprisingly, there is a segment on the major road where actually normal driving with sufficient speed is possible only in the night hours. So something wrong is going on this road. Although on other roads, the speeds are quite high, so the traffic is unobstructed. And we can also detect places of slow traffic in the mornings or working days. By now we didn't take into account such important characteristics of movement as direction of movement. In order to analyze also the directions, we can use aggregation of the movement data by the directions. We can take, for example, four major compass directions, north, south, east, and west. We can also add four intermediate directions. But in any case, we need to treat separately. Excuse me. Do I have only 5 minutes left? Okay. So, okay, sorry. We need to treat separately the cases when there is no movement. It seems that it is easy to detect because in this case the speeds should be zero, but in real data it's not always the case because of the noise in measurements, so you almost never had the same coordinates in two subsequent records and almost never have zero speeds. And therefore, it's reasonable to introduce some threshold and consider the values below the threshold as absence of movement. For example, here we see the data aggregated by eight directions of movement. The length of the directional bars shows the numbers of cars moving in respective directions. And separately, the cycles show us the numbers of cars with the speed below the threshold, in this case, 5 kilometers per hour, which means the absence of movement. It is interesting also to look not only at the numbers of cars moving in the in different directions, but also to different statistics, for example, median speeds. We can focus on the movement along a particular road, which is here on the north of Milan. And what is interesting, we can notice that some of these diagrams showing movements in two opposite directions are substantially asymmetric. In these areas, green bars show, pointing to the east are much longer than the pink bars, and in these areas we have the opposite, which means that the traffic was rapid in one direction and was probably obstructed in the other directions because of traffic congestions. Now we come to the trajectory-oriented view, which is more difficult because in this case we need to aggregate and summarize trajectories which can be seen as lines in the spatial-temporal continuum. And this means that our point-oriented approaches are not appropriate in this case. We need the most difficult in this case is to aggregate the data spatially, because these trajectory lines have various spatial characteristics. Maybe the most important are the start and end positions and the route connecting these start and end positions. If we disregard for a while the route and look only at start and end positions, we can apply a kind of aggregation when we divide our area into appropriate compartments and group together the moves, the trajectories which start in the same compartment and end in the same compartment. The results can be represented on a map by these flows, but the map may be not very legible and because of the intersection and overlapping, and therefore such origin-destination metrics may be more effective in analysis. We can combine this with the division of the time into intervals and consider the changes over time. For example, we can detect intensive movement towards the center in the morning, and intensified movement from the center in the mid of the day, and so we can find other interesting patterns, and we can apply this approach in particular to the investigation of movement through a particular road by introducing the suitable compartments along the road and also for the both sides of the road. We can notice a symmetric movement in two directions, and we can also use various interactive operations to consider the cars which leave the road or enter the road, and see how this changes in time. Next question is what to do with the routes. The basic idea is to group together trajectories with similar routes. For example, we can use suitable clustering methods for this purpose. Here are the results of how the results of clustering trajectories by routes may look like. The question now is how we can aggregate and summarize these groups of trajectories. In the beginning, I mentioned that there are approaches for geometric summarization when some kind of average trajectory is built, but in this case we probably lose important information about this branching which we see in many of the clusters, and we therefore apply another approach. The basic idea is that we group the whole trajectories by routes, but then we apply temporal aggregations by starts and ends to fragments of the trajectories by introducing appropriate areas. The areas are built automatically by extracting characteristic points from the trajectories, which are the points of significant turns or stops, and building areas for simplicity circles around collections of such points and isolated points. This can work pretty well in some cases when you have very similar trajectories and the data are have very fine temporal resolution. But in other cases, when the trajectories are not very similar and there are the temporal gaps between the position records are longer and not equal, the results may look not so nice. But still, this aggregation may be very useful in combination with interactive filtering. This is an example how this can work. We have a cluster of trajectories which are not very coherent, and when we apply our method of aggregation, we obtain a picture like this, which does not look very clear, but if we only look at the aggregated move which occur in a certain number of trajectories, in this case 20, we see clearly the major flow of this cluster. And by reducing this threshold, we can see some structure, we can see some branching, and so on. So this allows us to understand the characteristics of this cluster of trajectories. And we can compare different clusters of trajectories and do this by also in time. We can divide the data into temporal intervals. There are still lots of problems with aggregation and summarization trajectories which require further research. But the goal of this work was to develop a general framework for the use of aggregation and summarization in visual analysis of movement data. We introduced complementary views on movement data and showed that different aggregations are needed for each of the views. Each of the aggregations can be visualized, the results of each aggregation can be visualized by using various techniques such as animated maps with coloring, with diagrams. In case of trajectory-oriented view, we have flow maps, we have origin-destination matrices, and all this need to be used with interactive filtering and other interactive techniques. Thank you very much, and I am ready for questions. Everything is clear, I think. We have an algorithm for spatial clustering, which was specially suited for trajectories. The clustering algorithm itself is from DBSCAN family, but we developed a set of distance functions which are suited specifically for trajectories. One of the distance functions groups trajectories according to the roots, and depending, of course, of the parameters which you set, for example, distance threshold, you can get clusters of quite similar trajectories, but they will be very small, and very many trajectories will be treated as noise. Or you can get larger clusters, but the trajectories will not be so similar, especially in case of arbitrary data. So there are quite many problems in this, and this also requires some further work. No, parameters for the clustering method are the first parameter is the distance threshold, and the other parameter is the number of neighbors of the core trajectory in the cluster. And all these, the geometry of the root is taken into account by the distance function.